Cirque the Sorceress. Do you want to...
Circe the Sorceress. Yeah, exactly. So Circe is a sorceress. She's described as a witch goddess on Wikipedia as well. Lots of different ways to look at that. Essentially, how she's best known in the story is that she turns Odysseus's sailors into pigs. And Odysseus resists her magic using a particular herb and ends up convincing or making her restore her crew to their human forms. So I think here the lesson in VR really is about, it's very much around transformation, alternative identities, and how sort of different personas can get blurred between reality, fantasy, etc. as well. And going back to Balanson as well, so one of the things that he described VR as, one of the framings that he had, is that VR can be considered as the ultimate empathy machine. So it allows you to take the perspective of another. I think there's an example of a video-based VR from a Syrian refugee camp, where there's essentially a 360 camera put in the middle of the camp, and people interact with, you know, in the camp, they interact with the main character, and it feels like you're there in the camp when you're watching it in VR. So my particular experience here, This was one of those ones that was really quite pivotal for me in sort of understanding some of the power of VR as well. And it was probably one of the first times that it was a genuinely social experience as well, because a lot of the early experiences I'd had had been quite solitary. And, you know, learning is social as much as it's individual as well. So this was a particularly interesting one. So myself and some colleagues went to visit a startup in Chiswick in West London, and I had no idea what I was going along to. It was just, oh, go along, these guys have this thing, it's supposed to be quite cool, let's go and check it out. And what they did is we had a VR headset put on. We had these sensors, if you like, strapped to our wrists and our ankles, and these captured our actual physical movement in the real world and gave us these other selves that we could experience as if we were in this place together. So I was sat with one of our colleagues. We were sat on this bench in this warehouse room in Chiswick, but in our headsets we were a pair of robots on a chairlift that was going on a journey through this cloudscape. And as I moved my hand and I pointed at, you know, these peculiar creatures floating in the clouds, I moved my hand in real life, you could see the robot moving his hand and pointing in that particular direction as well. So it was a shared, embodied, transformed experience. And it was a stunning thing to witness.
You feel like you're connected to people in a way that you're not when you're doing video conferencing. It's like video conferencing is real in some ways because you can see the people, but VR is more real in different ways, particularly with gestures. It's amazing how little you need to experience of another person before you get a sense of them. I play virtual reality golf quite a lot, and you've only got a headset and one controller, and yet when one of my friends gets a hole in one, just the attitude of the head and the way that he holds his golf club conveys so much smugness from just that very, very slight gesture. It feels real in a way that other technologies don't give you that connotation of reality at a distance, even though it's avatars and everybody looks a bit silly generated. And I think that's what's fascinating about that aspect of it, really, is that transformational aspect that is, again, you have to be there to get it, I guess.
But perhaps the thing with Circe also is that she forces all the sailors into the same shape, form, you know, they're all made into pigs. None of them want to be pigs, you know, and I think that's something that you get with virtual reality, that if you don't have any choice about, you know, what role you're playing, people like to be able to personalize their avatars a little bit, you know, just to have some sort of signifier of this is me in some way. And it might be how they look, or it might be what they're wearing, or it might be just the colour of the setting that they're within. But if you impose all that on them, then they're not happy.
They don't learn as well either. There's some evidence that if you allow people to personalise their avatars, they actually learn better within those environments, which is fascinating. Can a tiger wear a turban? Which is a really interesting book chapter by somebody who's not a million miles from me here, just upstairs. And it is all about, it's all about being able to represent your religious identities. You're allowing people to wear a turban or wear a hijab to express their religious identity in some way. You're excluding a lot of people from that environment.
One of the really, another important consideration with VR as well is the, you know, is how inclusive or exclusive is it as an educational technology, or to, can it be used for learning contexts? You know, one of the big challenges is in most cases it's an entirely solitary experience where even the teacher can't see where you're going. And for many people, it is difficult to even put the headset on, you know, if you have particular headwear that doesn't align with the straps on the head-mounted display, if you have particular underlying conditions that make you more prone to, you know, what some of the getting triggered by some of the experiences that happen within there, if you're subject to motion sickness, you know, there's lots of reasons why it's not really suitable for everyone as well.
And the biggest one, visual impairment.
If you can't see,
then you're not getting as much from it. I mean, I know there are sort of object readers in the same way you have text readers, but it's not the same at all, really. And so you're disadvantaging anyone who's got a visual impairment, really, from taking part equitably, which I can't see a way of overcoming, really, at all.
No, and I suppose the best way to, the closest way to make an immersive experience for the visually impaired inclusive as much as it can be is to go down the audio route. So you need to have sort of good, what gets called spatial audio there as well, where a real-world auditory environment is recreated in a digital context.